Hi, Sinestro's Whiskers. You're listening to the Green Lantern Corecast for January 2011.
I'm your host, Frank Mateo, and joining us again are Brandon, Carlton, Eric, Kuhan, and P-Ping. You know what issues we have today? We have issue 61 of Green Lantern, Green Lantern Corps number 55, the Christmas special with Lars Lee's done by Spike TV Awards 2010 Scream Award winner, Jeff Johns. We also have our issue of Rebels 23 with our brand new rookie Green Lanterns in it. Anything else, guys?
Plastic Man Geo, Weapons of Mass Deception.
Oh, yeah, and the Plastic Man Green Lantern Weapons of Mass Deception. Is that what it was called? I didn't read it.
Weapons of Mass Instruction?
Well, starting off with the issue I didn't read, and probably the least favorite among the cast, Geo and Plastic Man.
Well, I read it, and I didn't think it was very good at all. I mean, good for Marv Wolfman. I don't know what the deal is with it. I get the sense this was like a rejected two-issue thing of The Brave and the Bold, and DC doesn't really know what to do, and they want to just push it out to capitalize on Green Lantern, but didn't want to put it out too much, too close to the movie, because they didn't want to either oversaturate the market or oversaturate with the product they don't know is that good. Overall, it's not a very good issue. I think,
The
story of the issue is that Plastic Man and Green Lantern team up, and, you know, they're mismatched.
Hilarity ensues, basically.
There's nothing remotely like hilarity in this. They're mismatched buddies and they fight ducks. That's really all you need to know to turn it
down. Are you serious? This book's in the
no. Absolutely. No, absolutely serious. That's the entire
thing. They fight ducks. And it's like, it'd be cute, I guess, maybe 35 years ago when Steve Gerber did it and everybody rolled their eyes at it then, but not today. I mean, again, Marv Wolfman is a cool writer, even though he kind of made, he did the Worf effect on Nightwing for the first 35 years of his career.
And sucked on Vigilante.
And yeah, I mean, I like his latest run on Nightwing, if that makes anybody feel any better, and Tomb of Dracula is like all-time great, but whatevs, it was a terrible issue. It was cool to see the artist get some working in Brandon Anderson, I believe. Very Neil Adams-y kind of thing, just overall, very archaic kind of story, very much like something you read in the back of a Secret Files and Origins that was only 8 pages, but somehow it's 50 horrifying pages. Karen, what'd you think?
Sweet chocolate Christ. I read this thing and I thought it was a lot like reading the old school Green Lantern as Mad Men sort of thing. I'm going to say it right now. Unless someone gives me specific issues, Hal Jordan has got to be one of the most boring superheroes I think I've ever encountered. And I'm really sorry to all the Hal fans out there. You know what? When you go to the forum and you see the link for this, give me numbers of issues I'm supposed to be looking for, because right now all I can see is Hal is like the long-suffering straight man. He really is just completely boring. And admittedly, Plastic Man was kind of like a really bad Bruce Campbell, like, knockoff. Like, I really did want to hit him with a mad ball. But seriously, what on God's green earth was this monstrosity?
Listen, I'm pretty sure all the Hal fans that ever listened to the show stopped listening by now.
All right, fair enough.
And clearly, if they haven't stopped listening, we haven't been doing our jobs.
I stopped listening.
That's one of the things that Jeff Johns has actually been good at, is that he delineated, he understands, he can't write him very well, but he understands exactly what Hal's character is supposed to be. His best characterization is Mal Reynolds or Han Solo, you know, and that's his characterization, like a really cocky guy who kind of gets it off anyway, you know, and is humiliated and everybody kind of feels better about it, but in general is whatever. What everybody doesn't seem to understand is that Hal Jordan for the first 60 years of his career was the old fuddy-duddy in the league. Like, his whole thing is he was everybody's favorite uncle. He was the straight man of the league. I mean, he was straight as an arrow. That was his whole jam, you know. I mean, besides, like, you know, proposing to Carol Ferris all the time, that's pretty much all he did, and having sex with 13-year-olds, that's pretty much all he did for, like, his first 30
years.
So
creepy, the constant proposals. So creepy! Okay, I'm sorry.
But, yeah, anyway, who else read it? Colton, you read it, right?
I vaguely remember something about space ducks.
Quack! Were they mighty ducks?
Were they this was ducks?
They weren't quite so mighty. They were limp ducks.
I believe it was Midi? A space duck set.
So lame ducks.
Lame ducks. I think anybody that anybody could do, should do who is given this comic book should, you know, duck. Is that even relevant as a pun?
Is that even relevant as a pun?
It's a good attempt. So, it's a joke as a person, you all did not particularly find
it.
Yeah, okay. That sums it all then. Well, we'll move on.
I give it a spectrum out of 5.
A what now?
What?
A reading system. What archaic system are you using?
I give it five man bats out of 5.
I get 2 gigawatts out of 1.
1.60 watt, whatever. Gigawatt.
I definitely give it
1.21, damn you.
I definitely give it 17 man bats on the complete other shit scale. Yeah.
Alright, so we're moving on to Rebels number 23, the conclusion of story arc with Carlton, you know the name.
Which name are you asking for?
For the rookie GL who killed a bunch of slave rapers.
Glorious Karkum.
There you go.
The only female scion we've ever seen up until this issue.
So how many of us read these issues, the Rebels issues?
I have. I know that.
I have.
So that's
Andrew, come on, guys.
Okay. Really quick, though, I think you guys are really missing out because I think as much as Tony Bedard, these issues have humongous, gigantic holes in them, I think Tony Bedard is writing Green Lantern stories about Green Lanterns and about the Green Lantern Corps, and he asks some essential questions in this storyline that actually aren't answered, but he asks some essential questions and he recognizes some really interesting parts of specifically Green Lantern history that has nothing to do with fucking entities or nonsense other corps or just time-wasting atrocities punching out abuse victims and stuff like that. Just specifically, like, good Green Lantern hardcore stuff. I love the idea that he brings into it. I like that it's all about, you know, the Scions, and they bring back that the Guardians kind of, like, when they're in Malthusians, totally fucked up their entire culture. I like that they talk about, you know, what they do when GLs go rebel, and they don't just, you know, go on trial for murdering Abin Sur's son and stuff like that. And I like that it points out a counterbalance to the GLs, and I kind of always assume at this point that the GLs are paid for what they do somehow. The Guardians are independently wealthy or whatever, but, you know, the idea of why does everybody just accept their authority, and they make a specific point to say, well, they've been around for 2 million years, like, it's just at this point people kind of just understand they're the law. Though I like the idea that the Rebel specifically kind of sets itself up as the anti-Green Lanterns, which it should have been doing from the beginning of the get-go. I liked a lot of aspects of the storyline, and I did like to see a bunch of evil rapists get murdered, even though I don't think it was necessary to have such a horrific amount of rape in the storyline that is never really addressed. The Guardians are like, we're going to totally fire you because you killed all these rapists. And then she's like, but they were rapists. And they were like, oh, okay, forget it then. We're not going to we're not going to do anything about it. And 2, not going to remotely reprimand you. Sayonara. But otherwise, I think it was pretty good.
Whew, I'm out of breath just from listening to that.
I mean, I can agree with what Eric's saying. Yeah, the entire scenario, the entire story itself was good. Plays out itself well. There are a bunch of holes in it. Especially the part where he's talking about the Guardians not doing jack squat about anything except for apparently something happened. We're gonna appear like we're doing our jobs, and then when it seems that we were somewhat in the wrong, we're just gonna say, "Oh yeah, sorry."
Yeah. To be fair, that's what the Guardians always do.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We're in the wrong. Okay. We're over here. We're doing our job.
Here's your badges. You're free to go.
I like the 2 new lanterns too. I think they delineated their personalities pretty squarely, even though, again, of course, the female lantern's whole personality is defined by the fact that she's a rapist. They're all rapey, I guess. But in all fairness, I don't like the term rapey. I think it's too funny. But she was a rape victim. But I think in all fairness, I think it does kind of acknowledge a legitimate part of Scion culture that kind of gets glossed over, and I think it's sort of admirable that Tony Bedard is kind of like, well, this is an ugly, stupid thing they were doing in DC for years, so let's at least address it. You know, I guess I appreciate it for that. I mean, it's good to see characters show up that, I mean, I appreciate seeing new species as much as the next guy, but it's good to see someone use continuity to kind of like whatever. Though Jeff Johns, I said to somebody, I was saying he's kind of like the early to mid-90s version of Jeff, Tony Bedard is like the early to mid-90s version of Jeff Johns, is in that he only seems to specifically focus on the aspects of continuity that he likes, and he just happens to like, you know, shit that was happening when Valiant was still around, as opposed to, like, you know, Jeff Johns only liking shit that was written, you know, by Mark Waid, emulating style that Darwin Cook wrote, emulating a style that, like, you know, Gardner Fox wrote, so. But I like the 2 characters. I think they did a good job delineating both of them pretty well, and I like that one of them is just straight up a badass, like, a skinny little dude that's like, my main claim to fame is that I love to fight, which of course half the characters in the Green Lantern's claim to fame is, but still.
At least you have the balls to stand up to Lobo.
It was pretty cool. I would have rather seen him kick Lobo's ass a little bit, but it was pretty good. Anyway,
is Adam Strange doing anything?
He stood around a lot. For some reason, he talked about how he was going to hook up with chicks, and he was joking, but they seem to forget Alana has been his pretty steady girlfriend for about 50, 60 years, so yeah. I don't know why. It's a, whatever.
Was Ding Rhames in this issue?
Nope.
We also had, for setup for later, we have the return of Starro the Conqueror.
Yeah, which, you know, whatever. Hopefully the Scion storyline will address itself before that storyline, because I'm not that big of a fan of the series Rebels by itself. I just like that they're finally interacting with the thing. And I do think the cover was misleading, because it was kind of Vildrox versus John Stewart, and they kind of did a whole, you know, Paul Cornell, Lex Luthor thing, where it's like, let's talk about what they talk about, as opposed to watching them get at it. But, you know, once in a while, I like a little bit of cathartic violence, and I do appreciate them kind of putting John up as this elder statesman of the GLs and stuff, though.
Not
you
seen
know.
Rarely enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bedard really likes John Stewart, which kind of worries me about this upcoming War of the Green Lantern storyline, where it's like Kyle Rayner's going to fight John Stewart, and I'm like, oh, yeah, another thing I have to kill Tony Bedard for when he has Kyle Rayner get defeated by John Stewart, but whatever.
To be fair, John Stewart needs his chance to shine after all these years of being nothing. I mean, at least Kyle had appearances. What did John do? He stayed undercover for half a year before John was like, oh, here's John. Now he's gone.
Well, John is the most visible Green Lantern in the history of modern culture, in all fairness. I mean, he was the star of the Justice League cartoon, which is the most successful.
You can't go down the street without asking, like, do you know who Green Lantern is? And without them saying, is that guy from the Justice League cartoon?
Or you can't go on an internet message board that is about movies without people saying, why ain't Green Lantern black, yo?
Yo, straight up, I think you really would be, us as comic fans, I'm surprised. I think people would really be surprised as comic fans how much the main public kind of associates Green Lantern as actually, just as a black guy, like as nothing else but a black guy, like named John Stewart, who was a Marine and stuff. So, it's interesting to me. I mean, I think that's pretty cool for John Stewart and good for the Justice League cartoon, and it definitely jumps leaps and bounds past everybody's kind of consistent whiny, it's tokenism bullshit, but you know. Fuck it, I don't care if he needs the time to shine. I'm tired of Kyle getting his fucking head put in the toilet bowl by all the bullies in the Green Lantern universe, you know? Like, whatever. Anyway, I'm done with that.
I agree with you.
It's all good.
Are we all done with that?
We're all done with that. Nothing to say, Wes?
The issue was good. Wes didn't read it, so we're gonna move on.
You suck.
We're gonna go to Green Lantern Corps 55, which is the third part of the series, the third part of the little story
arc.
The story arc with,
The Weaponer.
Yes, I know.
He was building for dramatic pause, and you totally ruined it.
Yes.
He is the Weaponer.
The new big bad guy for the Green Lanterns, who they have to now, defeat, and apparently he's able to shape whatever weapon he wants with the means of his own two hands, because he's so badass. I've yet to see, because literally all I see him do is put a net around a shield and go like, I've made the greatest weapon of all time!
It's a pretty sick weapon.
What it does is that it's not like he did anything to make it do anything else. But it's pretty funny. The entire point of the issue is that Kyle comes in with his band of brothers and comes to kick his ass and get his girlfriend. Now the funny thing about this issue is that he comes to kick his ass, and they get wiped out. I mean, beaten, ragdolled even. It's ridiculous how utterly defeated these statement Green Lanterns are. I mean,
this is the honor guard.
Yeah, these are the
best of the Green Lanterns.
Frontline of defense. These guys are supposed to like tooth and nail take you down with like their last breath. And yet they got smacked around.
Well, to be fair, this is the guy who invented the counterpart to the Green Lantern Corps' enemy ring.
My favorite one is when Hondu comes in and punches him in the face like, you can't beat me, and then cuts back, and he's being nailed down to the ground.
Yeah, well, they're like, it's like, and that was one of the things people were saying, like, oh, the biggest thing with the Weaponer is that, you know, he can kind of take out all the rings, because he's got that whole thing where he takes the ring's constructs apart. And then Hanu shows up, it's like, I've got your one weakness, I'm not gonna use my ring, and then the Weaponer's like, I got your one weakness, I still have fucking powers, asshead, and then completely destroys.
What's funny about it is that your one weakness that you never even use your ring. It's like,
I like, and it's like, as Hanu specifically sets his ass up, he's like, try that trick on me. And the next time you see him, he's even more humiliated than everyone else.
I really like the opening narration. Was like, bring Sinister to court, I said. I cannot have been more clear.
Well, you're the stupid boyfriend. couldn't even get that right.
Now, I think I do want to talk about the reveal of the, really quick, the reveal of the pact, quote unquote, and it turned out not to be much of a reveal at all. Like, I mean, it wasn't really anything.
That was so lame.
And it wasn't anything more than we learned about with Guy Gardner, the last issue. As a matter of fact, Guy Gardner's revelation was so dramatic that I was like, wow, when they reveal what really happened with this team-up, it's going to be pretty fucking epic, considering how fucking epic that quasi-reveal was. And it turns out, nope, they just shouldn't have published the issues in that order. You know, and really, like, the fact of the matter is, it's like, Guy Gardner came through with a crazy vision, so I went to Atrocitus, and we decided to stop Corona. And it's like, why wouldn't anybody else want to help you? Why do you think, why did you keep it a secret?
I don't understand why this pack was even necessary.
And why did you need to secret with vomit? Like, why can't you just give each other spacewalks?
This is really just shoehorned in this issue. It did not belong here. But I did, by the way, like Tyler Kirkham's take on Guy Gardner, further proving that he should be the one on Emerald Warriors, just saying.
So you think so?
I can't agree with that.
I don't really like Tyler Kirkham's art. I think he's bad, and especially when you look at these weaponers and they got like gigantic lightning bolts that are just straight up gigantic lightning bolts, you know, and like the inconsistency of the form and how everything has to be, it's over colored and over inked just to kind of match what he's doing here, and I'm not really a fan of his art at all.
Bing, you know? What do you think?
You know what? I'm looking for my issue, and I haven't found it yet, so come back to me.
So what do you think so far about this issue?
What do I think so far about this issue? Well, from what I can remember of it, I keep thinking, again, you know, and I say this every podcast, I know I'm new to this, but good God, do the Green Lanterns get their ass handed to them, like,
so
repeatedly.
Much.
They're like, they seem to be about as competent as, like, Boss Hogg and the Dukes of Hazzard. Like, those Dukes
wow.
always get the better hand of them.
Duke boys now.
I think, obviously, and I don't think they're going to get any kind of comeuppance on this guy, unfortunately. I think he's kind of get taken out by Sinestro in the melee, and you're going to see kind of like, you know, I think Sinestro's probably going to end up destroying the planet at the end of the storyline, kind of as, like, a bit last FU sort of thing. And I do think you're going to see, like, the Honor Guard kicks him. Sinestro Corps ass in the next issue, but who even cares about those guys anymore, you know?
Like, the cannon dangerous. For the past 30
yeah, come on, their sniper, Arkillo has got his ass kicked by everybody who's remotely his size, their sniper is total garbage now. The chick with the demon dog, she's pretty cool, I guess, but,
Carousel?
Yeah,
it's like Carousel.
Crib is my 100% favorite member of the Green Lantern, the Sinestro Corps. Even her, like, you know, she's literally got her arm ripped off and shoved down her throat. So how much more of a threat could she be, you know?
That's
whatever.
True. Again, this issue itself, it's weird the way it's set up, especially at the end of it where everybody just starts talking to one another.
Yeah, I guess
for some, for some reason everything got really boring, especially after the big reveal where Gassett now reveals like, oh my God, I'm gonna be sick. I can't believe that even happened. It's like, what's going on? Oh, I have to now sit down and explain what just happened.
And like, what's Weaponer be like, what are you talking about? Like,
the Weaponer stands there, he explains in paraphrases, like, so this is what happened. Apparently, I sat down and I listened to Guy Gardner's crazy rant, said to Atrocitus, alright, this is what you're gonna do, you're gonna infect me with blood magic so we can, like, communicate in vast, you know, vastness of space or whatever, even though we have these rings that no one is clearly monitoring anymore. Like, no one's in the command center listening to, like, what this guy's saying. Like, oh my God, Sinestro's in, you know, on Earth. No one's doing this. And then at the end of the whole thing, they're like, my God, what did you do? It's like, well, clearly he's trying to stop, you know, this guy from destroying the universe or something.
Yeah, the biggest end of this issue, again, is that Hanu is still a punk, so he's the only one on the team who hasn't got a chance to shine. John is still a punk. They all got their ass kicked. And really, you know what it is? I think this issue is spinning the wheels, like, more offensively than last few issues have. You know, like, I think... You know, even though they revealed a bunch of stuff and there was a fight, I think very little actually happens to move the story along any more than it has already, you know?
It's true. It's
we have three different groups, about four different groups if you include the Weaponer alone, about to throw down next issue. How is that not development?
Because there's nothing about them fighting that hasn't... I mean, Kyle was already fighting Sinestro Corps members. The Weaponer was already fighting Sinestro Corps members and fighting Kyle. And
what's the difference between fighting and breaking up a riot?
It's just going to be a big brawl, though. I don't think there's going to be any kind of, like, so what? It's going to be another issue.
Wait, what are you looking for, like, the deep-seated thoughts in here?
Yeah, I mean, first off, sort of, yes. Second off, even then, it's like, I'm tired of just, it's been three issues in a row where just, it's like, this guy versus this guy. It's like, all right, enough. Like, what else is happening in the story? The Weaponer establishes, his MO, what he wants, what's going on in the story.
His MO is not really all that established for me. I'm getting started.
For Sinestro, because Sinestro destroyed the Weaponers.
I said before, the Weaponer character itself is slowly becoming more and more disinterested with me. His character has become just that. He's just a big guy who's clearly immensely powerful in his way of disconstructing Green Lantern energy. There's no explanation as to why. I have no real reasoning as to why this guy's able to do the things he's able to do. There's no real big reveal that he's able to actually form this White Lantern into what he actually wants it to be. I see nothing here as to what makes him tick.
See, now I don't want to hear that, because I want to read these books and be like, clearly I'm just not getting it because I haven't been here long enough. I don't want to hear you guys being like, yeah, this shit doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
The shield seems to almost function like the rings do. They have some sort of
system. I understand that.
The shield performs an analysis, alters the weapon. The weapon goes into the form which is most effective against
the
weapon.
He put a net on a shield.
And it became a gun.
He put a net on a shield.
And like, why is Gantt even taken out by that net? Gantt is a fucking guardian, man. Like, the guy can alter time and space.
That's White Lantern energy.
The man can break a planet in half with his thoughts.
Yet he needs a ring.
No.
And I like how Kyle at the end doesn't, like, Sornik's like, look at this big-ass weapon room. Kyle's like, cool, grab something. I'll follow you outside. Like, what the fuck, dude? Pick up a crossbow or something.
That's my only problem with this.
The story arc, I'm sorry to say this, and the pacing in the art itself is pretty weak, because when Sornik shows up, she's holding the gun to the Weaponer's head. Kyle's nowhere to be found until the Weaponer says, hey, man, I told you to bring Sinestro. He's like, Kyle's in the corner going like, hey, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's
carrying his ass kicked again.
Yeah, when she gets her ass kicked, then I'll come out.
What were you going to say, West?
Yeah, I mean, going back to what Frankie just said, I thought Kyle was going to do something. That's why he wasn't in the panel there. I figured he was going to, pop out last second with a giant Gundam construct.
He'd be like, papa! That's where he's like kicking my ass.
It's a Gundam. Remember the last time he made a giant robot construct around himself? What happened?
No, I don't. What happened?
That was the first time the Weaponer kicked his
death.
That was like 3 issues ago, guys.
I'm glad you can remember.
I didn't hate this issue. Like, my only problem with it was the fact that we didn't get to see Natsu use that giant gun, and we didn't see, the Green Lanterns do much.
I'm still trying to figure out why the Sinestro showed up in the first place.
Well, because Sinestro flew off, and then he said, get there before I do.
Why?
Sinestro needs his entourage.
Maybe sure all of his rider demands have been met if they're like, brown M&Ms in his dressing room.
make sure there are, like freshly littered leaves on the ground while I show up. Make sure
I only walk on rose petals, damn it.
Make sure the sky is still fucked up when I get there. And then when he shows up, the clouds part, he's like, Sinestro's here, people. And he leaves. Yeah. That's it. That's the only thing.
He disappears.
Am I the only one who likes Tyler Kirkham?
Yes. No. I'm kidding. I don't dislike Tyler Kirkham.
I'm not saying he's better than Gleason or Doug or
the one thing
that or anything. I'm just saying I don't have a problem with it.
What's it like though? I don't get it because every time he draws a face, it's different than it is in the last panel. Every time he does a design, it's inconsistent. Every new design he comes, I mean, look at these Sinestro Corps members at the end. The two or three that he created are just awful. I mean, I don't think this, and every single picture he draws is overloaded with like sketchy drawings. I mean, nobody knows why they're standing. Everybody's stance doesn't make any sense. Like, I mean, it's like, there's just so much that's wrong with the way he does anything. I mean,
I'll tell you what, I really like the inking.
Well, the inking saved a couple of pictures. I think his best picture in the thing is probably the one of Krona. But then you'll see onto the entities and the picture's ruined. I think the best picture he draws is the picture of the Weaponer laughing. That's it. And the gun, the picture of Sornik and the gun. I just don't get what anybody would like.
I can say the splash page where Hanu's being checked is actually the best page he's done in the entire thing. Because there's not enough background in there to like make me like, man, his background sucks.
Like, stop drawing backgrounds, yeah.
And just enough so I can say, like, Kyle's just enough far away enough that I can say his proportions aren't that messed up.
And like, I like the picture that he draws where Hanu is decking the Weaponer. I don't know if that's the one Frank's talking about, but
that's like 3 pages, like 5 pages.
Oh, where he gets impaled, yeah. And then it's funny because in the little insert panel, Hanu's fist is glowing, and I can't really figure out why. I mean, I guess is that the fist he holds the ring with?
Oh, you sound like, no, the answer panel's just the, you know, and we're like, oh, you see that? The glow. I have the glow.
I guess it's the touch, yeah.
He got the touch.
Glow like
got the power.
No, we already did the dough. You don't go to the next line, dude. Come on, it's not funny.
Wait, God, Frankie's actually talking about that he's got Terry Gordy's The Last Dragon glow.
I was gonna say, the layouts in this were not, it's kind of a nerdy thing to talk about, but we're doing Green Lantern podcast, so whatever. The layouts were just not good.
Yeah, there's a part of
the simplistic and not good are two different things. I think they're traditional layout.
They're not traditional layouts, though. No, they're square panels, but it's like square panels in weird places that don't belong. I don't know.
Yeah, there's some stuff. There's one particular incident I'm looking at here where Boudica puts the beam around her and he teleports out of the beam and then hits her with a hammer in her chest. I couldn't tell us what was happening. I literally couldn't tell us. I mean, the way the only reason you know is because the colorist made a point to kind of color everything differently, and even what he's coloring doesn't really make any sense. So
I was just on the page because like the page before that, there's two parallelogram panels for some reason.
Well,
there's a trapezoid. I don't
know. And there's a part too where his proportions are wrong because in the page before that, where I believe where what's it called, the weaponry is actually making a net gun out of his gun to shoot at Gantt. If you look behind him, Hanu's lying on the ground, and it in no way, shape, or form is Hanu laying on the ground.
I thought he was like, yeah, jumping to the air.
Yeah, like, can't tell what's happening. It's really just and then right next to it, the worst picture of Gantt I've ever seen in my life. So, I don't know what to make of Kyle Herkman besides that the guy needs to slow down a little bit.
Okay, switching back to story for real quick second. No one's gonna bring up the fact that Kyle Rayner was drawn to Natsu's ring like
a moth to a flame?
Yeah, like, what the hell? He's really gonna shock it, though, yeah, seeing all that electricity.
Ooh, shiny.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. He's like, oh my god, it's your ring, and it's encasement of energy. Is she dead? Oh, wait.
And also right above that, look at Kyle flying. What is happening there?
Kyle is a terrible, terrible idiot in this storyline. He's a fucking moron in this storyline. Just deplorable as a human being. I really think, I thought that Tony Bedard kind of was suggesting that he thought Kyle was one of his favorites, and I definitely get the sense that it's absolutely, positively not true. He hates Kyle as hard as you can.
We've got two issues to go, so place your bets now.
You know what, I swear to God, I hope I'm wrong about this. I'm never wrong, but I hope I'm wrong.
Hey, isn't this a test?
Eric, I'm telling you, you're never wrong. I've known you for years.
He's known me for years. I've never been wrong about anything. And if I'm wrong about this, I'll happily take this.
Didn't you tell us to get Plastic Man Green Lantern?
I didn't tell you to. I just said.
Oh, no, you're wrong there, bitch.
I never said pay for it. I never said pay for anything.
Oh, language, Gulfmer. Kids show.
Not since DC released an issue where they not only killed one of their only high-profile minority characters, but had, in the same issue, I believe, a woman cook a man's penis off with her vagina. So I'm not really going to never buy a DC issue again.
Wait, what?
Yeah, not the issue that is killing you, pervert.
All right, we're going to go to Green Lantern 61, The Emergence of the Butcher, where we finally see the knockdown, throwdown fight between the Butcher, as he's called, and the Spectre. Also, we're going to see a little bit more of what the inner mind and the inner workings of Atrocitus. The end of the entire book is actually focused solely on Atrocitus, basically.
So guys, when Hal Jordan and Atrocitus and the Spectre teamed up to fight the Butcher, that was awesome. Because that's what was happening, right?
Yeah, I didn't. A lot of people on the internet were saying how they liked this issue a lot, even though it didn't have Hal in it at all. And I think that really says more about. And this issue by itself says more about the direction that Jeff Johns would prefer to be going than. You know, doing anything about Hal Jordan. I mean, I figure at this point he's really just writing really juvenile Wikipedia entries involving characters that he thinks he created, etc. So,
I mean, first of all, I mean, Jeff Johns, really, DC will give him any book he wants. So he could really just start a new Guardians book, and people could pick that up.
Dude, why didn't he say that?
Seriously, why haven't they?
Let's start
off. I don't know.
It's awesome cover.
Wait.
Yes.
That's why.
Yes.
We have two.
Gary Frank killed that
cover. We have two covers. One, Gary Frank with the butchered, cleaving action hand and his whatever spear thingy he has in his other hand. And Atrocitus Hal Jordan. It's a good cover. I like Gary Frank's artwork, you know, most of the time. Except when he draws children. always freaky. And then we have the variant cover, which we...
I like the variant cover a lot more.
I like the variant cover, except for the fact that they had to shoehorn Hal Jordan in there.
Yeah, he needs to get out of there. I think it's a really cool looking... I just like the way the picture looks. And
like
and
I it's really Adam cool.
Adam Garner did a good cover. It was really good. It's well done.
It's really cool, but like I'm pretty sure he drew it, and they're like, we need to have Hal in here. He's like, but he isn't in the issue.
Yeah,
we need to have Hal in here.
Yeah,
so
you see that little
flying
space between the butcher's horn and, the spectre's hand? We have enough space.
Throw Hal in there. I feel like this is the same picture of Hal that he always draws. I think the problem, my big problem with the Gary Frank cover, besides that Atrocitus is a completely different face, but everybody draws his face differently, is that, and Hal has, like, for some reason, Hal has, like, a bikini on, but, or a one-piece bathing suit on. But it's that the butcher's design, and this is really Monkey's, I want to say fault, and I don't mean to say fault, because I don't hate the design, but the butcher's design is kind of unwieldy, so it looks like Gary Frank was kind of drawing it as he was drawing it as opposed to kind of doing a layout, so it looks like it's a little disjointed, but again, I think that has more to do with the fact that the design is kind of so all over the place, that it really doesn't, but I mean, on that note, the art in this issue was, pretty awesome, like the two or three bits, where,
basically
the Spectre is fighting the bull was sick as hell. I mean, come on, like that, the splash page.
We can't start with that first. We have to start with the first two pages of this book.
Yeah.
First,
I'm really, really upset about this.
Let me lay it down for everyone here. We see a married couple, or so we perceive a married couple, in a pickup truck, right? They're screaming down this frozen tundra of a street or whatever.
Not just a married couple. Wasn't
it a tow truck?
Clearly a sheriff or a cop or something.
Sheriff or a cop, but inside, they're inside of this pickup truck. We clearly don't know whether or not he's a police.
I think it's a tow truck.
It's a tow truck. My mistake. We clearly don't know if he's a law official, but he apparently seems to be a law official. He has a gun in his hand and everything, telling his wife, Jenny, or girlfriend, or whatever, spouse, that she's never going to leave him. And then what do we see? A red boot. And what else do we see right after that? Their apparent death.
No, not apparent. Atrocitus. Now, we get a scene that maybe Jeff Jones is trying to throw us off a bit here and it's funny because it's almost like, if he was that kind of writer that was smart enough to kind of poke fun at himself, I'd say like, oh, the last four issues, that's all that's happened. We get a really brief introduction, two pages of characters interacting, and then you're supposed to guess who the host is going to be. And I thought maybe that's what he was doing here, trying to throw us off. But basically what we have here is a woman who's crying and desperate to get out of a relationship where she's clearly being abused and her life is threatened by this guy, an Atrocitus. Murders her. Atrocitus murders an abuse victim on the second page of the issue. So I literally have no interest whatsoever in Atrocitus as a character anymore. I don't think this counts as character development. I think it's just like,
how was he supposed to know?
He didn't directly murder her. He just punched the truck and grabbed
it. I find it hard to believe that Atrocitus doesn't understand inertia.
I'll tell you.
He meant to kill him because he wanted to get.
Come on, you can even see the little pine tree. Scented thing from the windshield.
Yeah, you can.
Rearview mirror flying above their head.
I think what it is, he killed them because the guy was angry and he wanted to read an angry person's blood in order to. And that's fine. He didn't have to kill her. He has a fucking ring that makes, he doesn't have to kill her. You know, he killed her because he doesn't care and because he's like the second page of the issue, a character that Jeff Johns trying to make me feel bad because he wants to marry St. Walker and his family got killed for like a year now. All semblance of sympathy goes out the window. And you know what? All sympathy for Hal Jordan goes out the window too because he allowed this guy to run around Earth and everybody kept telling him he's gonna. And it's one thing to burn an entire bus of people that are 60% likely of actually not of committing the crime whatsoever, but to legitimately murder a woman who a second before was crying for her life. It's unforgivable. I don't understand.
The question is, was he listening? Did he even know what the argument was about? All he did was punch the truck and they flew out.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the point is you damage. Jeff Johns specifically demonstrates the story specifically. Shows a woman that's terrified. We don't want her to get killed. And the next page, Atrocitus kills her completely arbitrarily because it's supposed to show what a fucking asshole, sick badass that Atrocitus is. He doesn't even care that he just killed an abuse victim because he knew what was going on there because he wouldn't. He targeted them specifically because the guy was angry. So he knew what was going on. He didn't say she was angry. He didn't go for her blood. He went for his blood specifically because he was angry at her. You know?
There's a difference between detecting rage and detecting abuse. Yeah.
Listen, guys, I'm just really disappointed that Johns wrote Sinestro flying away to, I'm assuming, Quard in the last issue. Because this would have been a great Atrocitus Sinestro buddy cop issue. But but Sinestro's not there, so it's just like Atrocitus.
Oh, we know it would have been a thing.
Is that the timeline now? Is this issue happening while Sinestro is in New York at Halloween?
No. Because at the end of issue 60, it's like what if the butcher was in here? And then he's like, hey man, Rainer's leading a unit in attempt to free her. It's like, oh. So this is after that.
Yeah, it's happening concurrently. Okay. It's pretty much happening concurrently. Because, Sinestro would have left him, I would say, what, like 5 days ago?
Is this 5 days normal days?
No,
or is
no,
this
it's
5 days
it's like
as
5 hours or something.
Sinestro, like, just left Earth, and the, okay. The Sinestro Corps just arrived on Quard.
Okay, so Atrocitus is in Fontana. That would piss me off.
There's a good bit at, you know, where, again, they were talking about earlier, where the Spectre's trying to grab the bull by the horns, and,
yeah, that's a really awesome picture.
Yeah, it's a good picture. It's a, I like the layout of this page. I like the awesome contours that the butcher is doing. It's a good picture. I love the anatomy.
Didn't the Chris Battalion Spectre used to have a beard?
Yes, he had a goatee.
Yeah, he had a goatee that was slight, and he also used to have these little gold medallion things that hung off his cape. And everybody was kind of like, oh, that's stupid. I kind of prefer that, because I wanted to be specifically the Crispus Allen Spectre. Because one of the things Jeff Johns doesn't understand is that the Spectre has a different personality depending on who he's bonded to. I mean, when he was Hal Jordan, he was a specific entity that was no longer the Spirit of Vengeance. That was completely ignored when Hal Jordan was
born.
Spirit of Redemption. I mean, there's a whole 20 issues about him specifically becoming the Spirit of Redemption, you know, and Jeff Johns like, fuck that noise, and threw him in the garbage, you know?
Well, he's the one who created Chris as the Spectre, and that was a bad decision from the start.
I don't think he did that. I think it was a DC decision.
Wasn't it Johns who wrote Hal Jordan in that one special anyways? Or that one miniseries or something?
No, he wasn't involved in Hal Jordan until way after. It was, JMD Mateus wrote that, like, I think, entire series of the Spectre with him. And he might have been his idea
that was earlier than that, wasn't it?
What, that he became the Spirit of Redemption?
Mateus did. Whatever.
That was early 2000s.
Whatever.
No, but what, Johns didn't get involved until this miniseries right before he was brought back or whatever. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that I actually think Crispus Allen the Spectre was a good idea because the couple miniseries they did really worked for the character, but it's just, he's not Crispus Allen anymore. He's just the same Spectre he's always been.
He hasn't been Crispus Allen since Gotham Central, what was it, 36, 32, something like that, since the last issue.
Well, no, the couple of miniseries where he was Crispus Allen was good.
No.
Yeah.
The Spectre is a bad idea. I can't wait for James Robinson to kill him.
So the entities really like to go towards one type of person.
Yeah, who's ever angriest or feeling the most hope or feeling
No. All the entities go towards, you know, because there was a predator that went towards the creepy dude. Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there does seem to be an overarching theme about abuse and rape going on.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. I'm kind of making that connection. I'm going through and I'm looking at the wiki page for Black Hand. To see whether or not he has a history, because we've got Adara who was going to be, you know, molested, and then we've got two women getting killed, or at least referenced to one woman getting killed in this with the butcher, and then we won't even go near the sexual predator.
It says she was killed, and it's like she liked it. It's like, wait, did she like being chopped up? No, it's pretty clear what happened.
Clearly, that's not what we're talking about here, people.
Yeah. You're a liar. There's no way she liked it. She didn't like getting her arm cut off. You're such a liar, and that's what bothers me the most.
Right. So clearly, like.
Here's the funny thing about this entire thing about the Spectre and the Butcher. For the longest time, we've heard, you know, since Blackie's Night, we've heard that the Spectre and the Butcher had this, you know, throw down fight before. That Bernie, they've had beef in the past. Now the funny thing is that. When, you know, we start here, you know, we start with the Spectre telling him, I warned you long ago, Earth is my domain. And then later on, they start going through this whole thing, and, you know, you repeat my shit, you know, you hear my warnings, you leave, and all, blah, blah, blah. And now the Butcher can only say, I'm hungry. And then the Spectre goes, okay, so you're just that, a beast. There's no, I don't understand how you're not understanding my words here, man. I told you to leave. Like, yeah. Like, nah.
It's like you can't understand. This explains everything.
Can we go back a second to Blackest Night, where the Spectre ran off in fear at the mere thought of facing the Butcher, and now he's rushing into a fight to stop him and, like, handles him with ease?
Yeah, there seems to be a little continuity problems going on here.
And I think he worked out since then.
And if the Butcher's been on Earth since then, where has the Spectre been going? Like, because it's clear he wasn't running to go get him. So the Spectre
Spectre is a problematic character in general, because you can never really understand exactly, like, why he's doing one thing, why he's doing another. There's actually even one of the Chris Pasquale miniseries is specifically about that, where he was in a building where people were constantly being murdered and raped and killed, and then at the end of the miniseries, it turns out he was only there to avenge one guy who was the worst guy of everybody who got murdered. And the whole thing was like, why? And it's like, the Lord works in mysterious ways, and it's kind of just a big fuck you to everybody who read the miniseries sort of thing. But that's kind of like the point of the Spectre, at least when you write him as a gothic horror character, that it's like a big fuck you to, like, whoever's reading the story. He's always going to do something really horrific to somebody who might not even really deserve it. I remember the one person that I think Hal Jordan really killed when he was a Spectre is he had an old lady who, I think she, like, I forget what she did. She either drowned babies or stole money. Either it was something really terrible or something really light. And he had her get eaten by, like, dead babies or something. And that's, like, how he punished her and stuff. And it's a really fucked up situation. And the Spectre's good for that kind of thing, but he's completely bad for existing in DC continuity.
It was
Jeff Johns who wrote the story that made Hal Jordan the Spectre, by the way.
Whatever. I like how the farther you get from the center of the spectrum, the more the just like with the rings, the more the entity changes you. Like the when the Butcher possessed whatever the Mr. Kim, whatever, he looks nothing like the guy did beforehand, kind of like the Predator did. But, like, when Ion possesses whoever, they look exactly the same, and when, you know, Parallax slightly changes them, that's a good idea. And I think, you know, we talked about this before, but I do quite like the design of the Butcher.
Yeah, you know, for a gothic, you know...
The Butcher bull or the Butcher...
The Butcher, the host.
Yeah, kind of sort of satanic-looking character. It's, you know, it's getting across what it wants to be, you know. Okay. He's supposedly like seeing himself.
I'm disappointed because I kind of was really hoping that when they introduced the idea of the entities and they kind of implied, and if you looked at old Spectre comics and GL comics, you realize they were seeding this whole Spectre hates the Rage entity for a long time. And I think now that the kind of relationship has culminated in this issue, it really wasn't anything to it besides just the. I was really hoping there was some kind of like big continuity twist that was going to reveal that the beast, the Butcher, even though we knew that he was just the Butcher, was going to be something major from like Spectre history or DC history, and it was just kind of like whatever.
Yeah.
That kind of bothered me. And I do want to say about the design of the Butcher, I love Doug Monkey more than most human beings love other human beings, but I don't really like the Butcher design. I think there's too much going on, I think, happening in it, and I think it's cool, but it looks like some kind of Warhammer 38K design where, like, it was just some guy in front of an easel who just got to paint whatever the fuck he wanted for, like, 6 hours, and it was the most absurd acid trip design I've ever seen. So, I mean, it's cool, it's just way too much.
I feel like that's kind of the point. It's just like, you know, acid. I mean, like, Warhammer is, I guess, would be a good base to start with for the Rage entity.
Does nobody see a samurai? I see a samurai there.
He's not a samurai. He's
got more conquistador armor that's like embroidered, and he's got like an axe, and I like my favorite bit is that he has all the rusty cutting tools, but they're made out of the energy, and that's pretty cool. That's like a cool idea.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny that they're going to be able to create constructs of energy, you know, of Butcher daggers. He is the Butcher, of course. I gotta say, it's pretty weak. Pretty weak, the whole, you know, as Eric was saying, the whole hatred between the whole, you know, animosity between the Spectre.
What really pissed me off was at the end, the character development, quote unquote, where he goes, I hate it, I hate them. Most of them.
That was the worst.
Come on!
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, this is obviously the Atrocitus special, and my biggest problem with it is that my only hope is that at the end Spectre says, like, oh, you might get killed, though I don't think anybody thinks that's going to happen. My biggest problem with it is that now I think Atrocitus is one of those Jeff Johns villains that does horribly unspeakable things and never gets any comeuppance for it. Like, friggin' Black Adam, who killed an entire country worth of people, and, you know, Sinestro...
And then joined the JSA, yay!
And it's, you know what's funny? You know what, I have to say this. I'm sorry. I have to bring this up. There, remember the, as everyone recalls, remember the part where the rage into the butch jumps into a shot to see what's the rage in his heart? And you see,
I gotta talk about that.
Yeah, he's doing his all little happy thing. Like, oh, there's you know, bugs and, like, you know, Jack bugs and my family, blah, 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 and his kid who looks hideous. and then you see the next panel where you see the manhunters that Bernie coming to destroy, like, wipe out an entire race. They take his daughter.
Yeah, where do they take her? Yeah.
So clearly,
it looks like he's picking up the puncher better.
Come here, I have to punch better.
I want to fall when I punch you.
I'm gonna leave your dad alive just so you can see me punch you.
The most ridiculous thing about Dean actually is how awkward the dialogue between him and his daughter is. Do you see that tracker? A drag bug in his family. Like us. Forever? Forever. Like, what? Why are you, what does she mean forever? Like, they're always gonna be drag bugs?
That page confused me. Like, I don't even know what was happening.
You know, and this book would be so much better with good writing.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. That last panel
But how could you get better than Spike TV Scream Award winner Jeff Johns? Two times Spike TV Scream Award winner.
It'd be better if it was pre-Spike TV Award winning Jeff Johns. That could be correct.
I want to reiterate that I hate every single oath. I mean, I only like the Green Lantern oath, probably. I like it, but it's probably just because this one is so ingrained. I hate every oath of every other core. I specifically hate this oath.
Yeah.
Then rage of crimson red, ripped from a corpse so freshly dead, together with our hellish hate, will burn you all. That is
I'm
your
so
fate.
Hungry.
It sounds like badly translated Japanese anime, you know? Or, you know. Like, we'll burn you all. That is your fate. It sounds like something Ken would say right before he's about to show Ryuk and Ryu, you know? It's like, it's the worst.
You must have beat my Shenlong before
you
can
say?
I think that Larfleet is
trouble. Make it double.
Exactly, I think Larfleet's secret oath is, you must defeat Shenlong to stand a chance. I think that's actually
all
his secret.
All your things belong to us.
Hello, gentlemen, make your time. That's his fucking oath.
I'm almost 99% sure his oath is just mine.
I'm going to tell you what his oath is in the next issue of Green Lantern. Then it's like, I'm going to tell you what his oath is in the next big event. I'm never going to tell you his oath. What the fuck? Who fucking cares, man?
I kind of like the Sinestro, like the reversal of the Green Lantern, but other than that, it's pretty lame.
See, it's clever when you do it once.
Yeah.
It's not clever when you do it seven more times.
Right.
You obviously have to
with one core.
Then again, make a whole new core is clever when you do it once.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was, he made it up as he was sitting there as the problem, and he never really thought it out past that.
I still love reading, I still remember reading a Jeff Johns interview, and they're going like, so, how did he design the, oh no, it wasn't him, it was, Ethan Mascara. He's like, how did he feel like creating these symbols?
He's like, man, I just made them
always
up.
Been there, like, they've been always there. I'm like, I didn't want it.
Well, he solved them, apparently.
Yeah, I don't like this entity's being thrown into, like, random-ass power battery thing. Like, the power levels need to be fucking clearly delineated, finally, you know? Like, I understand that they don't do that because they don't want to kind of, they want to be able to do whatever they want, but I don't fucking care. The fact that Parallax had to be trapped in the Green Lantern energy, the Green Lantern power core battery.
The main sensor power battery.
Millennia, and because it was so powerful, and it was a problem for him being in there because it was affecting all the rings negatively, but they had to keep him in there because he was so goddamn powerful, now they can just kind of throw him whatever fucking battery is lying around. Like, you know, I'm like, why are these guys, I mean, why is Atrocitus' battery so much stronger than everybody else's battery, et cetera, et cetera?
Blood magic.
So and do I understand he's very angry?
Yeah, well, maybe it works better because it's the right type of energy.
He's
saying this would be different.
Honestly, all they need to do is take Atrocitus to Dr. Phil, and then it'll, you know, all that rage will be like, you know, it's gone.
Thank you.
My main problem with the entities is they're not showing real consistent power. They're making them all, they seem to be a lot weaker than they should be.
Yeah, they're making it up as they go.
They should be godly. They should be freaking godly.
They're making it up as they go. Alright, yep. we're gonna wrap it up here.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And,
one more thing, I just, really quick. The guy was about to be executed, and he was mocking people at his execution, and then when these cosmic entities show up to kill him, he's like, somebody save me! It's like, nope. That doesn't make any sense to do that, by the way.
He kind of chicken shitted out when he saw the giant monster go into the guy whose daughter he killed.
Yeah, the, I'm still angry about the Spectre.
Hey, you guys know who should get his own issue all the time is Larfleeze.
No, no, we're gonna get to that in a second.
Well, I do want to say really quick though, this was a better issue than we've had in a while, because I think that Geoff Johns is better lately. It was better, I think so. Not better than the last issue, but I think better than the issue before that.
Are your expectations just lowered at this point?
I think exactly what it is. I think when he's got one character to deal with, he's better, but he's still not human. I think he is.
He's still not human.
Still Geoff Johns.
Alright.
Cool. I mean, you know, we shouldn't get personal when we attack these guys, because, you know, for all we know, he's a really cool guy, and he's written some really cool stuff.
He's a good guy.
Honestly, my expectations are so low at this point that I think the Larfleeze Christmas special was the best issue Geoff Johns has ever written in his life.
Can we talk about really quick the picture of Tomar Ray in the back of the comic?
Can we not?
No. Not a new reveal, more or less, but I actually really like it. I mean, you know, I think it looks really cool. The editorial behind it is again, the kind of broken English that Geoff Johns specializes.
I really like Tomar Ree, brought to life by Sony Imageworks.
Oh, yeah.
All
right, he's cool looking, and I like Tomar.
Let's move on. Bring it up, what Kuhan was saying, that if only Larfleeze had his own single issue. If only he had.
If only.
Some sort of issue that express how much Larfleeze as a character is to be considered fallible.
Oh, could it be a holiday spectacular too?
By Bing? I think you're right.
Can we not do that? Can we stop this from happening?
Okay, you know what? I'll tell you what.
No, we can't, because as of this past week, the Larfleeze Christmas special has hit the shelves.
I cannot believe this. Oh my god, this is the most amazing thing ever.
Christmas is coming early. Oh wait, I mean late this year.
This is the biggest comic I've ever read in my life.
Now, close to Christmas past.
Now listen, I know y'all are lazy people, and I'm only asking this because I have to. Did anybody try to make the cookies?
I would totally make the cookies, but I don't have the ingredients. We just moved.
I'm cooking retarded.
I actually didn't even notice this when I was reading the issue. But today, I downloaded the Comixology app. I was mentioning to you guys earlier, and I saw it when I got the free first 10 pages. I noticed that I'm like, oh, I should totally make these cookies.
Yeah. And I think the maze is really easy, and the ornament was super lame. Why would they just have three random pictures of Larfleeze in the ornament?
Yeah, like what?
They photoshopped like fucking Santa hat on one of them. Like, just draw a new picture, man.
Let's start off.
I'm actually pretty sure there was like five different ways to get through the maze.
Let us start off with the covers of this issue.
I usually like Gene Ha?
Gene Ha?
Gene Ha, yeah, I usually really like Gene Ha, and that was, not very good. I mean, the problem with Gene Ha is it's kind of clear that he draws everything, like, computer-wise, and it really shows in this picture.
Okay.
I mean, it's cool to see a cameo from, Susie Who, or whatever her fucking name was, from The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, but, besides all that, Susie Lou Who, but Cindy Lou Who, that kid, right? And why is he old? What's the deal with that gun? It's not working, and it doesn't make any sense.
I'm just gonna say I'm really glad I bought this issue, because I really, really enjoyed Brett Booth's art.
Bringing that up, I was gonna mention the Brett Booth cover that he did.
I like that one better.
I can see how much he took from the original appearance of Larfleeze.
Yeah, just basically redrew it and kind of just drew sort of a
and
bloody
gigantic size.
Yeah. not an amazing picture, really. I mean, it's kind of lazily done, but it's okay. I mean, obviously, this special was obviously written over the phone and drawn in about a day and a half, so I'm not going to expect too much from it.
Didn't we just do an interview with this guy?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So he's the greatest artist at the time we've ever talked
about. No, I have actually, you know, not, I mean, especially considering the school of art that he's coming from, like, I think he's coming from a specific, like...
especially considering, wow, that's kind of an insult.
Oh, no, I think, seriously, he's coming from, like, a top cow, like, you know, Wildstorm kind of, like, Jim Lee, Mark Silvestri, Tyler Kirkham.
That's true. This is the farthest you can get from David Finch.
I think it's actually...
That's
close.
A good thing, isn't it?
I think it's very close.
No, I think it's actually pretty close. I just happen to think... Brett Booth has a specific style.
Yeah, I agree. It's not the farthest you can get from David Finch, but it's definitely a lot better than David Finch.
There's some good art in here.
That's how you get into this, you know, with the Awakening Larfleeze, the Snarfs, the By Sinestro's Whiskers.
By Sinestro's Whiskers!
Best declaration ever.
Does Spider-Man leap off of his bed?
Yes.
By Sinestro's whiskers.
I happen to think this wasn't, there wasn't enough funny stuff happening here. It wasn't funny enough. There wasn't enough differences happening in the plot. I mean, everybody's kind of like, oh, just a basic garden variety, Christmas special. I feel like we've seen a lot of Christmas specials like this, and I feel like he really should have added something new to it.
Did you really expect much, though?
I didn't really, but that's only because we've discussed the lower expectations this time.
I really love the scene, when Leatherface finds out that, like, there's no presents. Oh my god, look, the cookies haven't been eaten. And then he holds up the cookie with his eyes glowing orange, like, the cookies are still here.
Yeah, actually, the whole opening bit was really strong. I like the whole opening bit.
Yeah, the opening bit was strong. For some reason, I was trying to read it as a, you know, in rhyme. See if anything was actually rhyming here. Like, you know, if this was like a Grinch Destiny on Snow Christmas type of deal. But no, nothing really rhymes.
No, it's just shattered English. Like, we're like,
who would dare steal from me?
Santa Claus!
Who would steal from the almighty Santa Claus?
Santa Claus!
Where am I?
Wait, Bing, what do you have to ask?
Larfleeze, I don't know, does anyone have an idea of what he's supposed to sound like? Because in my mind, he's Gilbert Godfrey, and that's probably not very
helpful. Yes!
He's not good at all.
I recall I was at the con, and someone said, how does Larfleeze actually sound? And some dude was actually wearing a Larfleeze suit, and all Larfleeze actually sounds like is,
like a bad Bill Cosby impression.
It's
fun here. Oh, lovely, Griffin Christmas. Very bad Bill Cosby. There it is.
Yeah, I think he sounds like from
the cookies were left for the dry in the red suit. Uh-huh.
And the cookies. For
mine, it's like a higher-pitched Yoda, except he doesn't sound like... He doesn't speak like Yoda. So
yeah, it totally explains why he kept pausing.
Wait, I'm sorry. I was trying to hear the higher-pitched Yoda, and all I heard was...
I'm not going to do it. Like that. But the problem is... I'm just going to say my basic problem with this. Where the fuck is Saeed? Where the fuck is Saeed? Where's Saeed?
Where is Saeed, or whatever?
I didn't even realize that.
Does anyone else think she's just dead at this point? Just hanging on the wall somewhere?
Yeah, so we haven't seen her ever since Blackest Night, where he's like, I get my own little
time where you saw her, she was clearly abused,
the one time Gantt finally shows up and asks where she is, like, well, I hugged her and squeezed her and petted her, and then she exploded.
Maybe Larfleeze let her out for Christmas to, like, you know, go have a little rendezvous with Gantt and stuff.
And he just
he's too greedy.
There was the mushy little ending at the end. It was like, this list is my family. Oh, and he's crying. Whatever.
He thought he was gonna put them under the tree, you idiot. And besides that, like, this is the same.
No, in the stockings, obviously.
This is the same quote-unquote bullshit that we got about, you know, Larfleeze for the past couple months. Like, look, he really misses his family. Like, who? Who is his family? Who does he miss? I'm tired of this, like, random thing where Jeff Johns will just shoot a, like, three-panel flashback about, like, you know, Larfleeze and Larfleeze's girlfriend, you know, Tattlefleeze or whatever, you know.
Tattlefleeze.
I love you, Larfleeze. We should be together forever. We should, except for the circumstance that we haven't delineated yet. And then, like, you know, when you finally find out some dumb shit that Gantt throws up. Like, yeah, it's not... I don't give a shit about your fucking family, Larfleeze.
And then there's
Larfleeze. Gantt's like, why do you hate me, Larfleeze? And he's like, flashback. It's like, you stole my girlfriend. It's like, hey, baby.
And then Larfleeze go, look, do you see that? Do you see that little Larfleeze daughter? She goes, a drac bug and its family, like us.
Forever.
The craziest Larfleeze hair never actually on fire except when this guy draws it.
Yeah, but it was apparently his power and his ringer.
I think Tan drew it on fire before.
Yeah, Tan
did. Spoiled it for me. I think Mackie does the best Larfleeze, and now it's kind of like anybody else drawing looks like just a weird tube with spikes in it.
I kind of like
Doug Larfleeze. Does the worst Larfleeze.
I'm still surprised by why Hal Jordan made a little girl. Sorry.
Oh, you know what else I want to say? Yeah, right? You know what I really want to say really quick? I do want to say that the artist of the Rebels issue wasn't horrible, but wasn't amazing. And then, I do want to say one thing. He drew a picture of Stell in one of the issues. That's the most embarrassing picture I've ever seen drawn of Stell. Like, it just proves, like, no one should draw Stell except for Philip Tan and Patrick Gleason.
Say Aubin and Hannah.
Yeah, that guy.
Hey,
he's
guys,
awful.
Guys, where did Glomulus go?
Oh, yeah.
Like Glomulus?
Is that the maze?
No, that's the...
No, that's the
backup, the little cartoon backup thing.
Tiny Titans, right?
Yeah.
And like, Larfleet, like, terrorizes Christmas and wrecks a bunch of shit, and he's like, I'm just gonna teach you about Christmas, motherfucker, and then, like, later, like, this is clearly working out, you fucking genocidal maniacs living on Earth and everything.
Good job, Hal. On top of that situation.
I'm hoping for good weather. I hope so, too. What can we hope to hell you with?
The worst is that...
He just took our bluebird of hopefulness.
And I know it's like... I know it's like a Christmas special, so it's supposed to be like just whatever, and it's Geoff Johns, so the emotions are didactic and really extreme and not justified by the story at all. But in all fairness, Larfleet spent 3 million years, or 3 billion years rather, in a cave eating his own shit, loving the fact that he owned everything he saw, you know? And then he goes to Earth, he has a bunch of shit, brand new shit, and Hal's like, give it away, and Larfleet's just like, alright, I guess, I'll see how this works out, like, no. Infinitely powerful entity who lived for 3 billion years eating your own shit because you liked that you owned everything you saw and you're just okay with giving your shit away. Like, nah, fuck off.
This 3 billion-year-old character seems to now be gaining his own character. He's like, yeah, trying to come up with a character of his own now. It's up.
I think most people should just forget everything we knew about Larfleet and just adapt.
Just
to
every single issue, get a brand new story. Because he's different every issue.
This issue barely matters anyway. We're gonna forget. I mean,
you know what the worst thing about this issue is? And now, this is a big deal. You know what the worst thing about this issue is?
It exists.
Huh. No, the Happy Holidays pinup. And who is conspicuously missing from this pinup? I don't know if you guys noticed. Out of the Green Lanterns in this pinup, there's one. Not yet. That's right. He's probably getting his head dumped in the toilet by whatever new villain Tony Bedard comes up with next week.
We have to bring this up again.
Larfleet's
Andrew. On a tangent.
And Andrew.
Yeah, that's the four Musketeers. Hal, John, Guy, and... Oh, Larfleet's.
And
four
Andrew
Musketeers,
Andrew.
Guys. It's always been that way, hasn't it? Yeah.
Come on.
Don't
just ridiculous.
Say a sunk
just,
month,
just
but I do think that the best...
Say again?
Oh, sunk month, or sunk couple of weeks. Completely terrible, but... You know, unfortunately, and this must mean something terrible is happening, the Green Lantern issue is the best one, I think, released. If not, if we're not counting, if we're just counting the Rebels. Like, if we're not counting the Rebels.
I can agree with you. Seeing that it was this week, Green Lantern 61 would be the best one that came out this week.
We're missing the Brightest Day issue. They didn't come out with... No, I mean, we not, but they didn't come out with one.
They are.
Whatever.
Yeah,
they
it's
are.
Yeah.
You guys don't need that.
Scheduling conflicts. Well, all right. Seeing that we've gone through the muck, the horrid and our and the sickly,
we didn't go through the grimer though.
Any new movie?
You should be killed.
Any new movie updates? Yeah, that'll be.
Well, I know that they're doing tracking now for what's coming up to be popular in the coming summer, and Green Lantern is not any of those tracking lists. Unfortunately, like, apparently, it's not very visible in the cultural spectrum yet.
It's because everybody's pissed off because he's not black.
No, everybody's pissed off because Ryan Reynolds just got dumped by Scarlett Johansson.
Everybody is a little bit bummed out.
Those Scarlett fans,
People feel better, feel like better. They like want to help the guy out. Like, oh, I'll help you.
We'll
out.
Definitely get the housewife crowd now.
You say we, but I think I'm still rooting for Thor this year. I'll let you know when I turn around. Captain America, come on, man! Like Captain America getting a movie is a bigger deal than. I mean,
I think that's gonna get pushed back.
Captain America did get a movie, remember?
No, I mean like getting a movie that's actually like getting released in theaters.
Come on, whatever. We're gonna, you know, I think it's gonna be full of all of Wes Pierce's teenage girls.
Captain America or
no
Green Lantern?
Green Lantern.
Captain America starring teenage girls.
Well, I mean, you know, Chris Evans. Chris Evans does have those abs.
Green Lantern is unfortunately coming out, but it's summer.
Those abs.
I can't say that I love the people in charge of DC Entertainment. Right now, in terms of their chief creative officer, et cetera, but
like Johns,
Raven.
Not that we're naming names.
That's not that we're naming any names.
Johns.
But right. I do like that they're finally realizing that they're a company that can totally, you know, actually use their product. Like they're like, It's like, why have you guys done a Wonder Woman TV series? They're like, shut up. It's like, you idiots. Like, it's been like 30 years. Goddamn TV show. Like, there's no reason you can't pump the airwaves with like 16 different Batman shows. People will watch them. You fucking morons. And even if it doesn't, if it's not successful, then who cares? Do something else, you know? Like, make a fucking Aqualad TV show, goddamn. Make a Mad Dog TV show.
People have to buy it.
But exactly what the point is. Like, why would they assume, I'm not assuming the Green Lantern movie's not going to do well until the tracking numbers showed up and now it's kind of like it's not really visible and stuff. So all of a sudden I'm like, wow, is there any way this movie won't be successful? And it seems strange to me. And even if it's not, an Aquaman movie might do well. And even if that doesn't do well, a fucking Mad Dog movie will do well. You know, like,
but you have to have funding. You can't just say, hey, want to watch Aquaman every week?
Well, that's the deal with Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers and Marvel, that's the reason they've been able to, of DC and Marvel, the reason they're able to compete is because DC has always had the more expensive comics and they've always sold less, but they've always made more money because, you know, 16 billion people will buy Superman underwear every year and like 12 of those people will buy the fucking comic book, you know, like.
I'd buy underwear that says Everwood across the front.
More people have watched Smallville than have probably ever bought a Superman.
I wouldn't buy underwear that says Smallville across the front.
More. I don't even think a percent of the people who actually buy this merchandise even know comics still exist.
According to my underwear, Green Lantern is a black man.
According to my underwear, three mice are blind.
And on that note, we're done.
My underwear actually has Hal Jordan on it.
Also, be sure to check us out online at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com. You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to check us out next time.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, the performers of our opening thing, Room Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also, check out the Roy Clark Method, performers of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at www.freewebs.com/Roy Clark Method.
This magic green, it is the color green, it can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me, it says, how, what have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong. Make us wait for too
long. I see two more other issues.
Hey guys, I don't mean to interrupt, but real quick, I was just searching to try to find one of the Green Lantern issues, and then the first thing in the search engine when I searched was
click. And also, we're gonna have Green Lantern, the Lark League.
That was rude.
He's just being funny because you interrupted. Just wait till he's done.
This is really awesome. Just real quick. When I was searching for the Green
and the Christmas special that we're gonna be having.
Where is that sound coming from?
Yeah, where is that sound? It's
Derek.
That's
Eric. Yeah.
Alright, hold on.
Damn, I had to edit this crap.
No, sorry, that wasn't feedback. That was, I had a water running.
What?
I had the water
running. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
I'm taking a bath, okay? I'm taking a bath. I have dogs to feed, so I gave them water. Or my girlfriend, rather. She gave them water. And it was just running.
Alright,
Anyway.
Anyway.